We're in the book of Malachi. If you'd open your Bible to Malachi chapter 2, we'll be there tonight. Malachi is a wonderful book. Give us some insight to how God feels about things going on. I'm going to only cover the first 9 verses. It's too much to spend in one night. You either have to go a long time or make 2 short lessons, and I'd rather make 2 short lessons than spread it all out. So next week we'll deal with 10 through 17. Malachi is the last prophet that comes to God's people before John the Baptist shows up on the scene. 5 centuries, God is quiet. Now, that doesn't affect us as much. We don't think about that as much because we're not used to having prophets come. We have a whole Old Testament where prophet after prophet would come to the nation, and they were trying to turn the hearts of the people of God, constantly getting off track. That's why it's not a surprise that the church gets off track, people in the church. Because the church today is like the Old Testament, is like Israel was the Old Testament. So it shouldn't surprise us to see people get off. But God would send prophet after prophet. They would mistreat the prophets. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. And finally, God's had enough. And so Malachi is this last prophet that comes. For the next 440 years, God is completely silent. There is no more prophecy. There's no more prophets coming. And, you know, the nation has to wonder, why is God silent all of a sudden? Well, there is a reason. We found out last week in chapter 1. Chapter 1 is we titled it, The Despised God. They actually despised God, and they didn't know why. They couldn't figure out why God was upset at them, because they kept saying, well, look at what we offer. We have sacrifices. We're offering this. And God said, why don't you look at what you're offering? Your offerings are terrible. You're not giving me your all. You're giving me what's left over of yourself and of your sacrifices. You look at what you offer back to me. God is not pleased when His people don't offer things from the heart. When people just go through the motion, God is not pleased with those people. And so they despised God. And God has had enough because they're so bold to despise Him to His face. In fact, their worship to God had become so mundane that they said, oh, how tiresome all of this is. Same thing every week, every day. We go through the same old things. My, how tiresome. And God says, how dare you despise my name like that? How dare you to treat me that away? Well, chapter 2 is the disgusted God. The disgusted God, and God is fed up. And now He's going to tell them, let me show you what I'm going to do. I've pointed out your attitudes and your heart's not right. Now I'm making a response back. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And now, this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. If you don't listen, and you're not listening. I mean, God is upset. You ever get upset at your children? And when you get upset at them and you talk to them and they don't listen? Well, how does it make you feel as a parent? You're not listening to me. Yes, I am. Well, you can tell they're not taking anything to heart that you're saying. And it gets under your skin, doesn't it? And you want to do something about it. You want to do something to wake them up. You're hearing words, but your heart's not responding. Well, that's the same thing we got going on here. They're not taking it to heart. He's talking to the priests. And as he talks to these priests, he says, if you do not listen and take to heart to give honor to my name, then I'm going to send the curse on you. Can you imagine God doing that? Cursing the very people He loves and makes a covenant with? But you know what? He will. I will send upon you the curse. Because you don't honor me, you don't give honor to me, you don't take things to heart. That's the dangerous part about what we do in our dealings with God. It's kind of like what we were talking this morning about working out your salvation with some fear and trembling, recognizing that what God has saved you from, what God has really done and spared us from, ought to create within us a response to have some fear and trembling before the Almighty. But when you don't take things to heart, it puts God in a position where God says, you know what? I'm going to send upon you the curse. In fact, when God sends upon the curse, he said, I will curse your blessings. Can you imagine God blessing you and then cursing you at the same time? And he'll do it. In fact, he says at the end of verse 2, indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. You are already cursed. Now, if you want to get an idea what being cursed is, hold this. We're going to come right back to chapter 2. Come back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Moses warns the people of God, and he tells them, if you will heed and if you'll take things to heart, you'll be blessed. If you don't take things to heart from God, I'm going to curse you. And so we're going to look briefly at the curse side, and I just want you to think about what God is saying about cursing people, his people. You know, it's all right if we think about cursing the world. The world is under the wrath of God. But what if God curses us, his people? Look at verse 20 of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke. And all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, on the account of evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you're entering to possess it. I mean, think about famines. Think about all of these things. Famines and distresses. Think about perishing. Think about pestilence, diseases and different kind of horrible things that happen in your life. And God says, you know what, I can bring them on you. In fact, when God curses people, the curse follows them wherever it goes. That's the major part. And so God says, you know, I can destroy you completely if I need to. But I can send curses and confusion. I can send pestilence, these wasting diseases. Oh yeah, I know how to do that. Look at verse 22. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with a sword and with blight and with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. I mean, it can chase you down. Can you imagine storing food? And you know, they don't have refrigerators like we have a lot of times, but can you imagine that you'd store food? And every time you'd put that food up and you'd go get it out at the time to eat it, and it was already mildewed and ruined and spoiled. God says, yeah, I can make it real tough if I need to. Verse 23, the heaven which is over your head shall become bronze, and the earth which is under you, iron. I can make it difficult to farm. You want to know why we have droughts? There's a reason why droughts come on. See, we don't think of God in these terms. But he's trying to reveal, he's talking to God's people, I can do it. I can make that old earth as hard as a rock. I can withhold rain from you. Yes, it will affect all of creation through it. 24. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated before your enemies, And you will go out one way against them, and you will flee seven ways before them. And you will be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Can you imagine withholding the rain and losing before your enemies? Can you imagine God allowing wicked people to overtake you? If you and I become cursed by God, if the people of God become cursed by God, your enemies even win. Sometimes we look around and we think, man, how come we can't overcome these situations? Well, it may be that we haven't been taking God's word to heart. Maybe we haven't been honoring and revering who He is, and God knows it. He knows the difference. Verse 26. Your carcasses will be food to all the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. I mean, he's expressing the horror of being cursed by God. 27. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with the tumors, and with the scabs, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart, and you will grope at noon as a blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. Can you imagine the mindset being struck with madness, confusion? Oh, you can't even figure out why your life is going the direction it's going, and it seems like that everything we try to plan to do for the good, it ends up turning out bad. God says, that's the curse. That's the curse. And I curse people when they don't respect me, when they don't take my things to heart. I've known brothers and sisters in Christ that their life gets real difficult and they can't figure out why. They never back off and look long enough. They look at your attitude toward the Lord and toward His things. Look at how lazy we take things. And now you want to know why your life is so hard? There is a reason. And so here, real briefly, we get to see, here's when God curses. And it's going to follow you. It'll chase you down. And why is God going to do this? Come back to Malachi, if you would, chapter 2. Why is God going to do it? Because He says, you do not listen, and you don't take it to heart. The priests aren't paying attention at all to what God wants. Look at verse 3 of Malachi 2. Behold, I'm going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your face and refuse on your feet, and you will be taken away with it. I'm going to rebuke your offspring? Your children are going to catch it too. Innocent children that have done no wrong. And you know what? They pay the price of the ungodliness of people not taking things to God to heart. Can you imagine families making it so tough on their children because their attitude toward the Lord? See, there's a lot of things being affected. He talks about spreading refuse on their faces and your feet. You go to a ball game. As you walk away from a ball game, or maybe you go to the fair, you walk away from the fair as you're going out at night. You ever turn around and you ever look around you and look at all the trash laying everywhere? I mean, it's a sight to behold. There's trash everywhere. God says, you see that? I can make your life just like that. I can trash your life because you show no reverence or respect for my name and for who I am. Verse 4. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. When this happens and you're being cursed and I'm trashing your life, and your offspring are being rebuked, and when you see all these things coming about, and your life is getting so hard and so difficult, He says, then you will know I'm behind it all. He says at the middle of verse 4, that my covenant will continue with Levi. Levi, one of the original 12 children. The Levites Levi was the one God made a covenant with as a priest. The Levites became the priests to God. God sent Levi apart. He made a covenant with Levi, and he made those promises. And now Levi has all this lineage of priests, and they're not taking anything of God to heart. They have forsaken the covenants. And God says, I want my covenant to continue, but I'm cursing you and I'm after you others because you do not respect or revere me. Verse 5, my covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Yeah, you remember Levi? That man, he was the man I made a covenant with. And what was his covenant, he says? One of life and peace. A covenant. A covenant relationship with God. God is a covenant God. God brings us into a relationship with him, brethren, to make a covenant, to make an agreement, to make promises. This is what I'm going to do for you. And he promised to Levi, Levi, you know what? In my covenant, you're going to have two guarantees, life and peace. What does everybody seem to want? Life and peace. You and I are under the new covenant. You know what that new covenant's based on? It's based on the death of Jesus. That new covenant is life and peace. The life from the standpoint that I will remember your sins no more. Of peace, that I'm not going to count your trespasses against you. We have a covenant too. But we have to understand our covenant is greater here than theirs. But you know what about Levi? He said, my covenant with him was one of life and peace. I gave them to him as object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Can you imagine? I think we've lost today awe for God. I don't know how you feel about this. I don't know how it strikes you. I still cannot hear God's name used by the way many people use it today. When I hear people in exclamations, when they cry out, oh God, oh Lord, or they cry out Jesus when something exciting happens, it just sends through me like you wouldn't believe it. And I hear it all the time. I'd probably stay in a state of shock 3/4 of the time if people knew what I was really thinking. But I do. It bothers me. It bothers me because that's a lack of reverence. And that's sure not standing in awe of the Almighty God who called us into fellowship with him through the covenant of Jesus Christ. He said, you know what Levi did? He stood in awe of my name. He revered me. We need to be careful how we let the name of God come off of our tongue. How we use the name of Jesus. How we speak and how we talk. Keep going. Verse 6. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. You want to see what the role of a priesthood is? Verse 6 gives us great insight to this role. He says that uprightness. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He turned many back. The role of a priest was to teach uprightness and conduct. The role of a priest was to help people see God clearly and to teach. And that's what Levi was known for. And yet, the priests back here at this time, they weren't turning people from iniquity. They were encouraging people with lack of reverence, with lack of respect for God. No fear, no awe of God. And so God says, you know what? I'm sending on you a curse. Because you don't respect me. The priests were supposed to show people God in true righteousness. Continue on in verse 7. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The priests were the messengers. Not only did they attend the altar and the sacrifices, they were the messengers of the Lord. They are to preserve knowledge in their mouth. They are to be able to teach people about God and what God expects. But the priest here, no. They haven't been doing that. Verse 8. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. They haven't been doing it. No, their lack of reverence, their lack of service, their lack of humility, their lack of heart, their lack of honor, their lack of awe, they're turning people away from the Lord. You've caused people to stumble. Now you tell me how serious. How serious is it for you or for me, for anyone, to cause people to turn away from Jesus? How serious would it be for a priest to call someone to turn away from God? Well, if you want to corrupt things, if you corrupt God's covenant, God has a problem when people do that. And he does not stand for that. And God will end up cursing you if we're not careful. Verse 9. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people. Just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. God says, you know what? My covenant is holy and righteous. It's supposed to be a life-changing covenant. I have despised you. You despise me. Look at how you offer. Look at what you offer in worship. And he said, I've despised you. And now, you're in big trouble. See, they're showing partiality. Sometimes it's real easy, and I've seen this over the years, where people change their view of God depending on their children. I've seen it happen a lot. Where their children get involved, where they get involved in things that are not good. And so the parents will change their ideas about God so they don't condemn their children. That's partiality. That's partiality. God doesn't do that. If your children are wrong, you need to tell your children they're wrong. If your children lack reverence and awe and respect for God, they need to be told. You don't change as a parent. Oh, I love my children too much. You don't love them any if you're not trying to turn them back to the ways of God. Here are these priests. They've despised God. They've broke the covenant. And now God says, I've despised you. I'm disgusted with you. And I'm causing the curse to come upon you. Well, how do we apply this? Come over, if you would, to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and we'll make a quick application. In Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, you and I must stand in awe and reverence of who God is. We need to have a greater respect for God. Romans chapter 2, verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. God says, I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care who you think you are. If you are not seeking the glory and honor from the covenant of God, from God Himself, then there's only one thing remains for you. There will be tribulation, troubles, and distress on your soul. You take people who despise God's covenant, You take people in Christ Jesus who think that we can just go do anything with any old attitude, just do things half-heartedly, and God says, I'll tell you what, I'll cause the trouble and distress on your soul. I won't cause it just on your life physically. I'll make it reach to your soul. And there is no partiality with me. I'll do it. I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're a Greek, a Gentile. It doesn't matter. There is no partiality. But you want glory and honor and peace from me? Then you better start seeking and putting me where I belong. And I'll make sure you share in my glory and honor. I'll make sure you share in the things of my covenant. Because I'm not a partial God. Don't think that you and I are above and we're special just because we belong to Christ. You and I have a relationship, a covenant relationship. And we need to take the things of God seriously. Come over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Peter writes, and coming to him, talking of Jesus, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What do you think God's trying to do for us? Who are we? When we saw through Malachi who they were, he was talking to the priest who despised his name. God has taken you and I in Christ, and he's building us up in this spiritual house. You know what he expects from every single one of us in here? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Your view of Jesus, whether or not you revere, whether or not you stand in awe of who Jesus is, your attitude toward Jesus is reflected on what you offer back to God. You and I are to offer spiritual sacrifices. We need to, the way we live, the way we treat our families, the way we go about our lives, those are all part of spiritual sacrifices. I'm making an offering to God. Now, if you don't stand in awe and you don't revere the name of God and you don't care much about the covenant, then what are you saying to God? Saying the same thing those priests did back in Malachi. What do you think God's going to do with that? Well, there's going to be tribulation, distress on your soul then. And he's going to make sure that the curse finds you. See, we're learning how God operates in things. You and I need to be concerned about what we offer up to God. About the way we live, the way we think, the way we talk. Come down, if you would, to verse 9 of chapter 2 while we're here. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You and I are the royal priesthood. You remember what the priesthood did? The priesthood gave instruction. The priesthood showed righteousness. The priesthood showed the people how to stand in awe and reverence of God. And if the priesthood got where they showed partiality and they stopped standing in awe of the living God, then God says, I'm going to send upon you the curse. You and I are supposed to be proclaiming the excellencies of him. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We need to be making proclamations about him. We need to be proclaiming who he is through the way we live. We need to be offering spiritual sacrifices. The reason I work my job is why? Not for money. God's going to take care of my my needs. He promises that. He promises if I'll seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He'll add the things. Then why do I work my job? You do it for the Lord. That's a sacrifice. That's an offering to God. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know why you deal with your family the way you deal with them? Because you and I are a royal priesthood. We're a people of God's possession. We're showing the lost world around us, giving them knowledge of God. This is the way a husband treats a wife. This is the way a wife treats her husband. This is the way children are taught and trained. That's what a royal priesthood does. That's proclaiming the excellencies of Him. You and I, without Jesus, we're just like the people of the world. You and I, without Jesus, are shown no mercy. We are now the people of God. We've now been shown mercy. And God expects a response of reverence and awe and honor His covenant. And that we do with our attitudes and our life. It's easy to become lazy, brethren. It's easy to become lazy. But buddy, it comes at a price. And a price is too great to pay. God told His people, I will curse you and it'll destroy you. I can bless you if you honor, revere, and hold my name in awe and respect me for who I am. We are the priesthood. We are to be offering something back to God as gratitude for the covenant that we have. And we're going to be held accountable to that. So you have to determine tonight, are you helping people turn away from the Lord with the way you live, the way you talk, the way you think? Are you helping people see the great excellencies of God? And here's what He means. And only you can determine that. And God will determine His dealings with us according to the way our attitude is toward Him. We serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a loving God. We serve a just God. And a righteous God. And we need to show Him who He is in light of who we are and respect that covenant. Tonight, if we could encourage and help anyone in anything, would you come while we stand and sing?